Is everybody ready to shift gears to Manifest Destiny?
Sure.
Okay.
Hi, it's Ray from Lolita Dark. You are listening to Comic Pop Library.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thing.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Heroes, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
and Logan.
In this episode, we're going to be looking at Manifest Destiny Volume 1, put out by Image Comics, their Skybound imprint. And this is, let me get there right. This is written by Chris Dingus. The penciler and inker is Matthew Roberts, colorist Owen Jeanney, letterer Pat Barusso. And the editor is Sean McKidwiz.
Wow, let's get that
McKidwiz.
We'll just stop at editor and do that.
Sorry, guy.
But I think it's Sean McKidwiz, but it's interesting.
Work.
Yes. The synopsis on the back, it's the collection of issues 1 through 6 of the comic series. And in 1804, Captain Meriwether Lewis and Second Lieutenant William Clark set out on an expedition to explore the uncharted American frontier. This is a story of what they discovered lurking in the wilds. And this is one that it definitely gets wild pretty fast.
It's historical fiction that right there at the end of that sentence varies from the actual history. I think that's the last historical word in there.
Is
the names.
This the covered up story that nobody wants to get out? We can't handle it. Don't think so.
I think that's actually what happened. I think that's the real account.
Well, you see in there when Clark Lewis is writing up his note to send to the whoever, he's like calling the president cray cray and like all this stuff. He scratches it out and then starts again and makes it sound all nice and awesome.
And they do kind of allude to this. They do have two sets of books.
Yeah,
one is what they do. And
the public account and the secret
what
account.
What actually happened? Yeah. And this is interesting. It takes on, like Lenny said, historical fiction. Very much on the fiction part of it. They basically are exploring the frontier, and their first encounter is going down the river, making a stop, and they discover what they decide to call just a centaur, for lack of...
Well, Minotaur.
Yeah.
Well, they call it a centaur. Or Minotaur, sorry.
I literally just finished this.
They call it a Minotaur for lack of being simplistic, because it was actually had a head of a buffalo.
Yeah.
And the body of a...
It had centaur features and Minotaur features, and of course it was a buffalo and not a cow.
So it's kind of like, what? Yeah, they don't know what it is.
No one had created this monster yet. This would be new. This would be in the back of the book in the Dungeons and Dragons manual. This is new content.
So this was your first clue that this was going to take a very,
very
wild
turn. This is on their way to the last outpost in 1804 of what was then
civilization,
and they were going into the wilderness at that point. And that's what they run into right on the doorsteps of that last outpost. And then they get into the last outpost, and the centaurs don't seem so bad.
True.
Minotaurs.
I'm not going to call them minotaurs just to piss you off. So that's just so you know. From now on, when I call them centaurs.
You mean minotaurs?
No, I don't. I want you to know that you're wrong too. So they even said it in the book.
True.
Yeah, they're wrong too. But
the funny thing is that that's exactly how they said it is. We're going to call them minotaurs for lack of a better word. And it's funny because they're definitely not minotaurs.
I would have just made a new
And they're
word.
Definitely not centaurs. So they're like minotaurs, like minotaurs. And like, you know, it just like, yeah, it's it sounds kind of dumb. And but the creatures themselves were scary as hell.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's glad the nothing like that actually exists.
True.
Then there's the random dryad.
The what?
Random dryad.
Dryad. Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Druid? Cliff jumper.
Yeah.
She's not random. It explains her at the end of the story.
What?
What? She was turning into that vegetative zombie.
I had no idea.
But this is one, like Lenny said, they go to the outpost and the vegetative zombies come into play at the last outpost before they go to the wilds.
I think this is a really ingenious spin on the zombie myth with the flora being actually in control of the zombies would make much more sense than some sort of mutant virus or bacteria for it to be a plant kind of like hive brain, and they're kind of connected. That's why they're slow. They've got plants inside of them.
And they kind
but R.L. Stine already did it.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that actually the first Goosebumps?
It's in the first season. I don't. I, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's actually
it.
Goosebumps number one.
It might be the very first one. But it's I used to watch Goosebumps when I was a kid, and it's still very popular. And we got one of the old DVDs, and that was one of them. Was the plants attack people and turn them into? They're not really like in this book. They're like like gory, gross zombies. In that, they're just
they're sleeper agents.
And that's just a rip on the old body snatchers. Yeah. This is Body Snatchers redone, but there's nothing original anymore. Nothing ever going to be original again.
There's the Buffletars.
Buffletars.
Yes.
The Buffletars aren't that original because what they're doing is they're splicing a bunch of, they're like the guys in Jurassic World. They're just taking monsters that already exist and making fun new monsters.
But these
to
are
kill everybody
are,
with.
But these are mystical beings. Mm-hmm. Is probably what they're alluding to. Somehow, some way, nature or mystical or cuz back in
that
time.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously it was covered up when they killed all the buffaloes. That's why.
Well, you could also have an intergalactic theme because on the flora queen, the hive mother, whatever you want, whatever.
Yeah, the big flower.
Yeah.
Poppy looking.
She said, "I am considered a god where I come from." Well, where does she come from?
No, she's not telling
that. A different planet?
Yeah, probably.
I see it more of a myth.
The Buffletars.
Mystical type deal rather than alien type deal. It's just back in that day, you know, Mississippi was pretty much it. Nobody knew really what was happening further west from the Mississippi, like Lenny was talking about. Except, you know, the Native Americans, you know, were nomadic. But this was, I think we'll get into more of the Native American lore, probably more just because of the time period. And so that's why I think it.
Flower ever get more of an explanation?
That was my favorite photo.
So you're going to have to say that again. Cause it
did this skull flower ever get any more importance?
No.
I think that just was a foreshadowing.
Yeah, but that was probably my favorite.
It's the same type of
panel.
Flower that the hive mother or the queen or whatever like it that she was. It's just a smaller one, but.
But look at the shape of it. It's
it looks like a skull, and it's on the front of the cover.
Right. I think it's cute.
So it's just like a little foreshadowing in there, like, oh, the plants are coming very slowly, but they'll still get you for some reason. Because, and I love that. It was a rock and a hard place scenario. Slow. They had these evil plant demon monster zombie things inside this fort that they're in, you know, trying to eat them or turn them into plants. And outside are these Buffletards that are just gonna, I mean, literally, like, as soon as they see them, they're gonna run them down and
kill them.
And what I was starting to say is the whole travesty of the railroads killing off every single buffalo just for their tongues and hides, sometimes not even the hides if they already had plenty. You know, they could actually kind of like clean that up with, well, we had to, those weren't buffalo. We just said they were buffalo. They were Buffletards, and they were going to kill us all. So, you know, it kind of cleans up that black eye in American history. And I don't know, you know, maybe that's something the comic book may go back into them because they sort of get away from them. But they're more concerned in this
with the outpost.
Well, with the plants, because I think the plants are much more dangerous. I mean,
infectious.
Yeah, they're insidious, and anything they touch turns to plant.
Well, also they only knew about that small group of the
flowers, actually part of the
buffalo whatevers.
Yeah, they didn't know what else was out there.
And they knew that Sacagawea had killed that group.
Yeah, she.
So as far as they were concerned, they were no longer a threat. And they only have the plants to worry about now.
I don't know much about the actual Sacagawea. I know that she was a mother, a very young mother on the trip because of the coin, obviously. She has the baby and the papoose on the back of the coin, you know. And I know she was very young when she took them across. She was the actual guy. Was she really married to a French explorer? Was any of that true? Or was that something they threw in for this story? Does anyone know anything more about her?
Research any of that.
In fifth grade, I did.
That might have been true, but
I can't remember if there was somebody with her or not.
Because this was...
She did have a kid. She was married. I don't know if she was married to a Frenchman or to a Native American.
It seems much more likely that she would have been a guide for their expedition if she was already inoculated by having been taken by a French husband. And that was common. The explorers, they took native wives because they were very pretty and they, you know, were, of course, nice to them, I'd hope.
Well, they helped with trade,
they
too.
Just, yeah, they didn't just slave them or whatever, beat them over the head and drag them back to their cave.
And this one...
But this guy seems like a creep. Like, in this book, like, I'm really hoping Lewis, like, knocks him out of the... He's a real freak, but...
Sacagawea is pretty much a BA in this one. I mean,
she's obviously the superhero. Yeah. She's going to take care... Like, had it not been for her, they'd all be dead already. She's, like, the hero of this one. Can I see that,
Logan? And it doesn't actually show the pink skull flower in any other place in the cover in that one image.
But I just was talking about the kind of shape of the big... When they get inside of that thing, it kind of reminds me of the skull flower, like the shape of it. I know it isn't the exact same thing. It just looked like it would grow one of those flowers.
Right. And this is one, you listen to us talking about it, and we're kind of gushing about it, but actually just listen about it, you're like, really? Would that really be that interesting? It is very well written, though. Well written, and the artwork is very well done as well. It surprised me. I didn't think I would like this.
It's got a lot of it has a lot of really well done, thrown in kind of slappy in the face humor. There's this one scene where they go into this poisonous flower, Lewis and Clark both, just them. Everyone else is outside fighting off, I think, more of these things. It's like a bulb they're in, you know. And it's talking to them, and while it's talking to them, it's like, oh, my pheromones or whatever are going to make you sleep. And they both have dreams, and Lewis's dreams are all very sexual, and he's like with all these women, and they're all it's very lewd. It's not very showing, but it's very lewd in idea. And then he's like, oh, I bet you Clark's having some awesome dreams. Clark is like hacking his own family to pieces. Like oh, there's all this death around him. It looks terrible.
I thought it was Native Americans.
I don't know.
I'm going to look for it.
Yeah. I don't know who he was hacking to pieces.
Yeah, Native Americans.
It was definitely a nightmare. Dream.
Yep.
Because at first he's killing him, and he's like, oh, no, what have I done?
Thank you for interrupting me. That's what I was trying to say.
And then they're going to kill him.
That was the whole point of the joke.
We made that laugh.
Their joke, not my joke. I wasn't making a joke. I was pointing out that it wasn't the same kind of dream, which they call those nightmares. April, thank you.
Yeah.
But looking at this, it's not the time frame I'm interested in reading about. It's not... You know, Lewis and Clark, yeah, they're kind of interesting to me because I do like history, but I'm not that big of a frontiersman history,
That's
but
the same this was for like, me.
Oh, this made it kind of cool.
No, my deal is, I'm like you, I love history a lot. It's just that, honestly, American history in general I'm not interested in because it's been hammered into me so much. But specifically Lewis and Clark... And all that, just I've never been interested in. So even though this is really cool and they're really cool ideas, it's still kind of sluggish for me just because it's Lewis and Clark. But that's nothing against the author or the artist because it is an interesting story and everything. It's just personal preference. This isn't my type of read.
And I say this is mystical rather than horror because I don't really feel scary. Horror. Yeah, I feel like this is more like a supernatural adventure.
Even with the plant zombie creature thing.
But I feel like, even though, like, you know,
bloodless vampires we have here. Let me actually tell you what the story is like for somebody that gets into what they're reading. These guys get off a boat and they hear a thump. And then this terrifying,
at least it
huge,
didn't say get off on a boat.
No. Naked woman horse thing with a buffalo's face and like titties big as melon, seriously, with a battle axe comes chasing, stomping towards them. And then they have to run into this abandoned fort that is like creepily covered with mold. Yeah, no horror there at all.
I'll
guys.
Be honest,
that's,
guys.
Of course, it didn't scare April. Nothing adventure. Scares April. But yeah, I mean, it's more mystical, but I think they definitely went for there's some horror.
I see it as a supernatural adventure.
It may have not scared you, but they're trying to scare someone. Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's just the way the story reads. I mean, they don't give you, they're not looking for these buffaloes. There's no warning that this is going
to
happen.
But see,
anything is going
to
happen.
Me,
like before that happens, I think it's going to be like boring as shit. Like I don't care about Lewis and Clark either. And I picked it up because I wasn't taking it on the trip. I'm like, let me check this one out.
Well, I'll be honest.
To me, this is Lewis and Clark is the first Sam and Dean.
The first what?
Sam
and Dean.
Winchester
from Supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, I don't watch Supernatural, so.
Yeah, I'll be honest, during the whole fight sequence when the female whatever comes in, I didn't even know that was a female.
Yeah, she isn't beautiful.
No, I mean, I thought,
but they actually talk about it.
Yeah,
her
they
being
do.
A
and I'm like, I had no idea because honestly, I just saw her boobs as pecs. What I saw.
Like she was
what
Arnie.
Was that?
As pecs.
Well, let me see. I'm trying to
like
figure
those
out.
Don't look like pecs to me, but whatever.
Yeah. But see,
they look
I was,
like teats.
I was more interested in the face. I thought that was a little bit different breed than that, and so and that's why. But yeah, no, it's a chick, I guess.
Well, the author wants us to think it's a chick, so let's go with what he thinks.
But no, but I'll be. But I think the. Like, what I actually really enjoyed...
Yes, it's China, but she's still a girl, okay?
I did like...
from the WWF, I don't know if you know, but
I did like that they did bring in the whole, they do have criminals on this voyage with them.
Yeah.
You know, people that
that's
were
realistic.
Like, going to hang, they just, hey, they'd probably die out there anyways, toss them on the boat with you. Yep. Free labor, and...
True.
And,
well, and they did that to a degree. Cause
and they're honestly,
they did conscripts
to me,
where if you served your time, you'd be pardoned and stuff.
And
so
to me,
it's more for like suicide missions and stuff like that, not really like adventuring across the wilderness.
But see, they thought this was a suicide mission.
And it was fairly suicidal on some points.
But see, to me, I liked it because the criminals in this, especially Jensen, which is the really short asshole.
Yeah, I like him.
Like, he's my favorite character in this, not because he's a good person, because he's not, but because, I don't know, he just feels, he's got the most depth to him.
There's something about that statement that was not shocking at all, April.
Yeah.
And again, we're in total disagreement, because I think Lewis definitely has the most depth in
his
character.
I think he's boring.
Of course you do. Lewis, actually goes into his mind and goes into his backstory a little bit, and he's much more well-known historical figure, but whatever. And it's also from his perspective, no big deal. Yeah, you're right. The little criminal guy with the funny looking head is definitely the best character.
I think he might be through most of the series, if not all.
He's going to. Because
I don't think he died in this one, did he?
No, he didn't die in it.
I think he's the comical aspect. You always have to have some type of comedy.
But he's also smart.
Horror
he
adventure
is very,
stuff.
Very smart.
And don't call it horror. Right. This is Mystical Quest.
Mystical Quest?
There's no horror here. It didn't scare April. So, with that, also every horror movie that's been made for the last 20 years, not a horror.
Well, like, the fact that he connected that, you know, none of them have families, and that he knows specifically what these men are here for, he's a smart
he's
thing.
Pretty smart, he's smart, true.
Yeah, he's got that little man syndrome. I don't know.
I don't connect extreme smartness with little man syndrome, but
they just
because he's small, he's more bookish. He's compensating by being smarter,
by being smarter tougher, by being stronger, smarter, by being better in just any way he can.
Because other people are and
I know what you're explaining to me. I hear the words coming out of your mouth. I just don't agree. It's not. It's not. It's not that I don't understand what you're trying to infer. It's that I don't agree with it. I don't find him incredibly intelligent or witty, and I don't think that the fact that he realized
I do too.
They sent a bunch of losers without families out on a suicide mission. It's not shocking.
Yeah, especially considering. At least most of them
but
were
the fact that,
prisoners.
That none of these people...
Yeah, the fact that any of them were prisoners, they knew that it probably wasn't to give the queen cake.
Well, see, during that part, he was talking to Wallace, another criminal, and you've got to say, a lot of these men, if any, besides Lewis and maybe Clark, because Clark is more of the fighter, not the thinker, it's how much education do they have, if any? Because this is the frontier times, you know. So, on his level, he is...
They came from
he's
England,
pretty quick. He may not be book smart, but he's quick on his feet, and he's street smart, basically.
These are Americans.
This was after Revolution.
Yeah. Colonials, but after the Revolution. We called ourselves Americans then. This is the most
talking about the
terrible misnaming
Logan,
of the country.
Logan, this is fifth grade. Literally. I still remember. It's terrible.
Frontier days, this is after the Revolution. Yeah. When they were starting to explore. Because we have a president.
Uh-huh.
Did they mention...
Jefferson.
Yeah, they even mentioned, you know, they're writing to the president. Lenny mentioned that.
All right. I'm terrible at presidents.
And one of you guys mentioned, I think it was April, that...
It would have been Andrew Jackson.
Or was it you? Because they scratched out the...
Oh, he's right.
This president is a loon thing.
Yeah, that was April.
No,
yeah.
It's Jefferson. Yes! Because he's writing to Jefferson. Well, not writing about Jefferson.
Writing to him.
About him, yeah.
1804, is that right?
I don't know.
That would be right.
I'm not very good.
This is
president.
Just after the Civil War or the Revolutionary War.
I know
War,
the first
so
president.
It would have been
and
Thomas
I know the
Jefferson.
Current president.
Jackson wouldn't even have been president for like another 100 years. So.
Like I know president names. I just don't know like orders or times and like what.
That's what they make history books for.
Yeah. And rulers.
If you can't remember. Go look
I remember
it up
in
book.
Grade school, it was a big thing that every ruler you used had the president's faces and names below them in order.
Oh, true.
It was half weird.
Yeah, they do the same thing with kings.
But this is one that surprised me. I enjoyed it. I think most people will probably enjoy it. If
I
they
enjoyed
would,
it, too.
Would look at it.
Yeah, it's one of those that you don't want to give a chance, and then you open it, and you're like, okay.
Because even the,
I had that
even
same
the
experience.
Front of the... novel, not novel, the front of the graphic novel, if you just look at it, it just looks like a regular frontier story. Yes, it does have the flower that looks like a skull and the buffalo head that's kind of covered up, but nothing
that could just
really,
be art.
Right, nothing really leads you to think that, oh, it's going to be, oh,
there's no way to know. There's no way to know what's coming whenever you open that. There's no, they do a very good job of hiding their gun, I think that was... part of the reason that
they literally have all the monsters.
I'll be
right
honest,
there.
I didn't even know the skull.
Yeah, you're right, they do.
I didn't even notice it.
Well, that's
below
not a buffalo skull, that's a cow skull. But
I didn't notice it below the flower because I was just distracted by the flower.
Yeah,
I think it's a cool looking flower.
Yeah,
I hate flowers, and I like that one.
But it's a skull on a skull surrounded by skulls.
There you go.
That's nothing to allude for. This is not a horror. I just want everybody to remember that. If it scares any of your children and they have nightmares, I'm sorry, but it's not a horror because it didn't scare April.
This one's definitely not geared
adventure.
For a child, though. I think it's probably 16 and up, roughly.
Yeah.
Could handle it. Fine.
Yeah, TVNA, but if it scares your kids, I'm sorry.
They had a solution too quickly for it to become a horror. That's... And I think
well, that's like Teletubbies.
It's not a horror.
It's like Teletubbies.
Teletubbies. That's a horror.
No, exactly. That's
like, I was talking about a horror film.
A lot of my
Teletubbies.
A lot of my friends say they're terror. They've never been like Teletubbies have always terrified them. When really that's geared for children. I never had a problem with them. I thought Teletubbies were so
terrifying.
Cool.
It has. I mean, it's the same.
I barely remember Teletubbies.
I'm sorry, but I think clown phobia is ridiculous.
I think it's weird. I don't see it.
I don't understand clown phobia. I'm sorry. I know that it does afflict people, but
even when it's a dark clown, when they use like grayscale.
Especially
costume,
when
it's
a dark, especially when it's a dark clown, I'm
There's
like
dark clowns.
Well, like, they try to make it scarier. They use dark colors,
or just you know really? Try to make a monstrous
Sometimes.
Face behind the clown makeup.
Yeah, and to me, it's just like what
you know. Dolls much creepier than clowns. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't like dolls, but
mannequins are scary.
Yeah, especially after that terrible movie.
But anyway,
Mannequin.
I think
the movie was Mannequin.
Mannequin. But I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight. This is one that I think
it's not a horror
you're going to be interested in. It'll surprise some people. You might have to show it to them and suggest it to people if they're not already familiar with the title. This is one that, for personal collections, definitely pick it up if you're into the supernatural horror type thing. Adventure, if you want to do it for your library, I think it'd be fine within your library. Just make, 16 and up is probably
just the know that
level.
If you pick this up, you're making an investment because there are more volumes. Yeah, and I hate it when you stop buying it mid-series, whatever it is, finish it.
True.
Would make the most sense.
Yeah.
We're having fun. We hope you all have had fun listening to us.
Yeah.
We will see you in the next go around.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thing.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.